Last week on Norm MacDonald Reads the Bible, hipster Jesus spends two chapters saying goodbye to his disciples, instructing them on the true meaning of friendship. He talks to God, gives him some instructions, forgetting that he's going to be seeing him in person very, very soon. We finally get to some action when Judas shows up with the Pharisees. Peter circumcises the right ear of the high priest's servant before Jesus surrenders, then follows Jesus and his captors to the judgment hall in order to deny Jesus three times. A cock crows and the trial begins. Pilate tells the Jews to judge him themselves, but they refuse because they want him dead. So when given the choice, they pity the fool Barabbas and have him freed in place of Jesus, with two verily verilies and a yawn count of one.
Wow, there's some excellent work going on there in these intros. Thank you so much again. Yeah, that good summary. last one was a little long, so I think this one, because we're ending the book, I think it ends a little short, but we'll see, of course, how it goes. And you could tell me, because you can already see how long this has gone, because you can see into my future. Trippy. John 19, we're going to read John 19 through the end of John, which is 21. I probably shouldn't even announce this, but I decided something. This podcast, I'm going to announce it. What the hell? It'll help me commit because it is the kind of project that I need to commit to. I want to commit to. I fully expect to commit to, but things are hard and oftentimes I have dreams that don't work. But I'm going to go ahead and make this announcement, which will help ensure that the dream works. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Okay, this is off the fly. Or on the fly, rather, off the cuff. I am going to write a book about the Bible, about this podcast, about reading the Bible, about all the problems with it, develop some of the jokes that I've thought of through reading it, some of the concepts that are hilarious and just awful. I just thought I don't want to waste this opportunity. So my plan is to start writing and hopefully finish by the time the podcast finishes and be able to release it. And it's the kind of thing where it's going to take a ton of work. I've already begun. I have so many thoughts. I have so many things to put to paper here. And it's a little intimidating, but I thought, you know, it's something I can do. It's something that will be a really cool thing. I think when this podcast ends, it's going to be really interesting because I took 6 years of my life and I read this whole book. You know, it's going to be, I think it's fascinating and I have a lot to say on it. So I'm announcing that. Hold me to it. I have a page goal a word goal every day that I'm going to try to do and to help me stick to it. And that's what I'm going to do. So I just wanted to announce that here. And you'll, of course, hear more details much later because it'll take a while. But that's that. If there's anything, well, I'll just say this just in case. If there's anything you've found particularly compelling or funny or interesting that I've ever said on this show and you can remember it, it would really be cool if you sent me it because I'm going to have to go through everything and judge for myself. But if there's anything that sticks in your mind, if you send me a message on Facebook, you can find the Thomas and the Bible on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can go comments@thomasandthebible.com. You can contact me any way you want. I don't know. That would be interesting. All right, let's get to the reading. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put him on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Wait, what? So Pilate finds no fault in him, but he's like, well, a man's got a scourge, what a man's got a scourge. Which, by the way, is awful. This is like awful torture that's happening. But he's like, well, I find no fault in him, but hey, if an angry mob tells you to scourge someone, you don't ask questions. You just do it. I mean, that was the time, I guess. Nowadays, I would hope that justice would perhaps, you know, like prevail and you wouldn't just see an angry mob and be like, look, this is an innocent man. And the mob's like, no, he's not. Oh, okay. Well, I'll start torturing him then. Is that what you want? All right. I guess I'll do it. Then where was I? And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. He finds no fault. Not so much that he would intervene in the torture and murder of an innocent person. You know, he doesn't find that little fault in him, but he finds no fault. But not enough to, you know, stop an angry mob from murdering him in a gruesome, horrifying way. But, you know, he's on Jesus's side. Not enough to, you know, intervene or anything like that. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." And Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again unto judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, see, this is the version, I remember reading about this in one of, what's his name's books, you know, Bart Ehrman. I remember reading that, I think it was in that I read that this gospel, Pilate, or some of the gospels, Pilate is like on Jesus's side. You know, that's one of the big differences. He's like, I can find no fault. I'm not really sure what the point is, but apparently there is some point to it. Someone later on decided, oh, I want to make, you know, this point. And so they changed it to be that Pilate is like, oh, he's the best. And then I think it was to alienate the Jews. It's to make it so like the Jews actually murdered Christ. You know, it's that sort of thing. Then Pilate saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have the power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except were given thee above. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out. Yeah, I think that was it. It's to make it sure that the Jews are the real people at fault here. And you definitely want to blame an entire group of people for what allegedly maybe happened, not at all, in a book a long time ago, to an unrelated group of people who just happened to share, I don't know, some similar ancestors or something. I don't really know what the point of that is. And from thenceforth, let's see. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Jeez, the Jews are really... they're really lawyery. They're like, they have all these reasons. Here's all the following reasons why you should crucify this innocent man. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, with a capital P. That's interesting. But in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour that he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Yeah, sure. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. That's a good justice system. He's like, oh, well, I guess if an angry mob wants to crucify a guy, what are you going to do? They said yes. I asked him, are you sure you want to, you know, torture and murder a guy? And they said, yeah, we're sure. So at that point, what can you do? I mean, really, like, what are your options? If an angry mob says, we want to murder somebody, you can ask them once. You can be like, oh, dude, are you sure? But once they say, yeah, no, we're pretty sure, your hands are tied. I mean, there's nothing you can do. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. At this point, he's kind of done with it. He's got other things on his mind. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vestiture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. So this, what sense does this make? What am I to make of this? I mean, I'm not a Bible expert. You know, like it takes weight. I mean, I'd have to go to school and stuff for that. But this, would the soldiers really say, oh, hey, there's a prophecy that this guy's raiment would be parted according to casting lots? And so the soldiers who are not Jews, you know, they're Romans, I think. They're just like, oh, we better make this Jewish prophecy happen, right? Am I right? And then they do it. Like, does that make any sense? Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now that, wait, what? Oh, he's not dead yet. Okay, so he's still alive. Sorry. He saith, I thirst. I don't know why that's, so I like how the Bible says, well, now that Jesus knew all, everything important that had happened, that needed to happen happened. So he's like, okay, I did all this. Let's see. Let me check it off his list. He's like going through his mental list. I was crucified. Yeah, no, check. I see there's some nails in my hands, so check. I definitely did that. They cast lots for my raiment. Yeah, that was good. That's done. Check. Like, he goes through all that, and he's like, okay, now I can say I'm thirsty. That's seriously what it says. Now that everything is fulfilled, he said, I'm thirsty. For some reason. I don't know why. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, and put it into his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So he just died of, he has an acute vinegar allergy. The Jews therefore, because it was, so in this version, he doesn't say, oh God, why have thou forsaken me or whatever. So that's interesting. This strikes me, John strikes me as a more heavily edited version. It seems like someone tidied a lot of things up. This is just me theorizing. I'm not sure if it actually was, but it really seems tidier, you know, like, and they got rid of that part because they're like, holy crap, why would Jesus, who is God, say, God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why would he ever say that? It makes no sense. Let's just eraser that out a little bit. Let's just smudge that out, get that out of there. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with them. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs. Wow. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out there blood and water. And he saw that it bare record, and that his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. What? For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Okay, so this is all, there's a bunch of crap in the Old Testament somewhere. And by the way, every time I look these things up, I haven't looked them all up because they turn out to be incredibly mundane. Whenever it says, oh, there was an Old Testament prophecy saying this, you go back and look at it, and it's like, that doesn't even really say this. That says some other thing. Like, the interpretation is incredibly loose or too rigid. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him who they pierce. Oh, I read that. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and 100-pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre wherein was never man yet laid. There they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. That's the end of John 19. The first day of the week, John 20, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. As he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not he in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also, guys, I don't want to alarm you, but it seems as though Jesus' body is not there. Dun, dun, dun. That is shocking. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the sepulchre, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. We really like saying sepulchre over and over and over and over again, a million times. And seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say to them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he shewed unto them his hands and his side, where the disciples... Then were the disciples glad when they saw. So he shows them like, yeah, my hands have holes in them and my side, I was stabbed. And they're like, yay. I don't know why they'd be glad. I'd be like, oh, what the. First off, I'd be, what is happening right now? And then I'd be like, yeah, sorry you got murdered. Then Jesus said to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in the hands the print of the nails, and put my finger to the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So this is me, essentially. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it to my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Oh, okay. We'll just take your word for it. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I like that little, like, sort of, well, there's a lot of other, like in a debate, if you're like, well, I could go into all the reasons why I'm right, but I mean, there's not really time here, but just let it suffice to say, you know, there's a lot more reasons in addition to what I said, you know, that you could look up. Whatever, but they're not, I don't have them. But anyway, there's so many reasons that I couldn't even talk about. And that's pretty much what happened there. All right, John 21 here. This is the end. After these things, Jesus shewed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on the wise and on this wise shewed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and they were not able to draw it for the multitudes of fishes. And they're like, wait a minute. Weird miracle for no reason? Is that you, Jesus? Get out. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. What? Okay. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, and 153, and there are so many, yet not the net was broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus shewed himself to his disciples. After that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, Lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto them, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto them, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He's just making demands now. Do my laundry. Make me a sandwich. He saith unto them the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Yeah, no kidding. Lord, you know everything, right? Why are you asking questions? That's so condescending. That's got to be the most annoying thing. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. I already read that. Sorry. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Yeah, I get it. We're all going to feed your sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girded thyself and walkedst whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto them, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto them, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is it to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto them, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is confusing and pointless. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. You can't just say that. And there also are many other things which Jesus, here it is again, which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. There's so many things that Jesus did. He did, we couldn't even fit in all the books, all the miracles he did. Really? Then why didn't people follow him? Then why wasn't everyone worshiping him? No, they were like, nah, this guy's not real. Why? He did so many miracles. He was so amazing that you couldn't even fit it all in a book. Like, the world, this guy is literally saying this. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Yeah, yeah. Except no one followed it. 12 people followed him. Everyone else wanted to kill him. Why? You ever ask yourself that, Jesus? What's wrong with me is what you should think. Who am I? What's my problem such that I do all these countless miracles. And still now people just want to kill me. Instead of following me, they just want to kill me. Maybe question that. All right. Let's see. Have I had any new patrons? I have Ryan Neal, but I think I already thanked him. So, no, hey, you listening. Yes, you. Become a new patron at patreon.com/TandTheB. Support the show. Support the continuance of the show when I need to move on to another book like the Quran or whatever. But I need to thank my all-time greats, John Bodley, Chris Lukowski, Marcel, Sarah McPike, Japan Dan, Katie, Stacey Swaney, George Green, Charles Bangwiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Gerfortley, Primesberger, John P., Travis Peterson, and Heriberto and Rob. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. Certainly, when I do write this book that I'm going to do, my all-time greats will get a free personalized copy. I mean, that just goes without saying. So thank you for being my patrons, and I appreciate it so much. All right, I will see you guys next week.